Good morning and happy new year to all. And welcome to the January 11th, 12th meeting of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. Fun packed 2 days. And we do have folks that want to talk this morning. So we will kick her off with call to order and commissioner's discussion. And I'll start that because Kelly and I, the director, and I just got back from the WAFWA meeting, which in code is the Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Associations. So WAFWA is the son or daughter of AFWA. And I don't know what they call it in the East. IFWA?
So, why don't you tell them where you went?
It was the Western meeting is, it's hosted by a state, and this year the state that hosted it was Kansas, but you don't go to Kansas now, so they hosted it in Tucson. But the summer meeting is in Manhattan, Kansas. And when I was talking to some people, I said, oh, you're going to come to the summer meeting? And I said, well, what are we going to do? You know, what's going on? I said, well, we're going to have an afternoon go catfishing. And he said, we got one of the best zip lines in the country. And I go, these are not selling points that I... But it's Kansas. Ah, the land of Oz. AHS. Okay. But what I did learn down there, and there's some interesting things, just a few tidbits. We go around a table with the different states' commissioners and directors, and a couple common themes. Chronic wasting disease is on the agenda. It is spreading. That's the issue of how do the non-consumptive parts pay for what we've talked about, you know, as the traditional North American model shifting, how do some of the pay? Colorado is emphasizing a licensing for mountain biking, so that, which I hadn't heard about, but that they're really looking at that as a revenue stream because mountain bikes do go up in the terrain and all that. So I found that pretty interesting. Another thing that I hadn't thought about, and we don't think about in this state, Arizona talked about, we talked a fair bit about trail cameras. And, you know, you can have a trail camera, one or two, but they were talking about sites that had hundreds of trail cameras. And on first blush, you're going, why would that be the issue? Anybody know offhand? Water holes. Because there's so few water holes, any water hole is a mega attraction. So it's surrounded by cameras. And how do you restrict that? So the whole issue of fair chase, having, you know, if you're watching these things, and also the two types of cameras, the chip one and the live one. So the issue of water hole hunting is a very real issue down in a lot of those states. And again, coming, you know, from this part of the world, you just don't think about that. Montana, on the wolf issue, they put forth a wolf stamp, like a trout stamp or a duck stamp, and that failed. That was by initiative, but I thought that was interesting. The number of hunters, as the states went around, the number of hunters per state, there was a talk, you know, it is declining nationally. We've talked about that. It is declining. And age 70 is the drop-off where it really starts to decline. So the baby boomers, that's going to fall off. But I was kind of intrigued by Nevada is 2% of the population hunt in Nevada. So I thought that was a really low number. And then we asked Kurt, and he's for Melcher, said, was it 7% or 6? Or?
Morgan said they were up at 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Around 3 to 4.
Yeah. 2 was, I just wrote that down. And another issue that I haven't heard about here, but I guess it might creep into our discussions, is our air bows. Does anybody know what an air bow is? That's because it was a major issue down there. An air bow is not really a bow, but it has the velocity. You shook your head, Nate. Do you want to?
It's basically like a pneumatic, you know, bow.
Yeah. With a stock. I mean, it's...
If you're permitting them for ADA hunters that have upper mobility, upper extremity mobility issues, and that was raised some concern among the hunting community.
Right.
Because it felt like the range of the air bow was beyond what would be an accommodation for a compound or a regular bow.
Yeah, they were talking about these things. The velocity is quite intense, and it looks like a gun. I mean, it's got a wooden stock and all of that. So... again, not. I just brought up these issues because they're not on our radar, a bunch of these things, but
yeah.
they could be on our radar. And another issue...
Wait a second.
Yeah.
What is it, Nate, rather than the regular, it's just a crossbow without that you don't cock or what?
Yeah, I don't know how the propulsion mechanism works.
Yeah, I asked somebody next to me, and they brought a picture up on their camera, you know, on their phone, and... Because I had never heard of one before, but it is that it? One?
No, no.
Oh, okay. But it, I, the way the conversation was going, that will surface here. We will deal with that at some point. And the last thing, which I when I said to, yeah,
you can buy some air bows.
Yeah, they're $700, and they look like a weapon. I mean, there's scopes on them and everything. It's. And the archery community is opposed because the word bow is in there. So the national archery groups are trying to distance themselves from that. Wild horse impacts are really something that is surfacing, too.
Feral horse.
Feral. Well, yeah. Well, I'm right. But in Nevada, they had, you can help me on that, but 85,000 was what we were told. And the carrying capacity roughly is 25,000. Well, we saw a video that was put together by, do you remember who that?
Nevada DFW was part of the major emphasis behind it.
It was very graphic. I mean, it was so at some point, even though we have some in Yakima area, but this was, you could just see the destruction on the range and the habitat. So I'll pass around the agenda. Just so you can, people can see it. But that was an interesting meeting. I mean, I learned some stuff. And so, other commissioners' comments? Okay. Then we will go to meeting minute approval.
Actually, I have a question. Okay. A lot of discussion about Rawa, the wildlife funding bill that was introduced in the last Congress, and I guess died with the last Congress. So, what are the plans?
It's being reintroduced. Okay. Congresswoman Dingell from Michigan, and it's bipartisan support, but it's going to be reintroduced now. The person from AFWA who is the focal point, she's very sharp.
She is.
Yeah, and. So I would go to their website to find out more, but it's got legs. That's assuming Congress is working, but you know, but it's going to be reintroduced in the next couple weeks. And I there was no negative comments about that. So, yeah. Director, did you want to add anything to?
For me, it was a very worthwhile trip, and that I believe there were directors from 19 states and 5 provinces there, so that was helpful for me to kind of get my feet. My takeaway was it's amazing how much we have in common in many ways. Everybody's struggling with relevancy. Everybody's struggling with folks aging out and not drawing in new people. Everybody's struggling with increasing urbanization and the detachment from fish and wildlife. And everybody's struggling with how to deal with social media. One state, I think it was Nevada, said they have 4 dedicated sites to just hating their agency. And how do you deal with that? Because you want to be responsive, but you could suck the whole agency into a continuous debate over social media. So everybody's feeling that. At the same time, we're so much in common how unique Washington is or how much broader Washington is. Some of those some of the states would talk about their biggest issues, and I just think, wow, that would be really cool to have that be my biggest issue. You know, no international borders generally, not really a marine species, not a co-managed state like we are. Just the complexity of our issues felt much very similar but much different all at the same time.
Yeah, when the commissioners went around, and I discussed the whole concept of co-management. and a couple states understood it, but a lot of the other ones had no idea what I was talking about. And also, one of the issues we talked about, or I raised the orca issue, and but also culvert, the whole culvert issue. So I'm sitting next to a person, and he said, I don't understand what these culverts, why is this a problem? This is a guy from Kansas, and I go, well, trying to describe that, you know, it's just, yeah, it was, so as the director said, I think if you're going to be a director or a commissioner and you want to have less difficulty or challenges, Kansas or South Dakota, you know, you got, you got crappie, carp, cottontails, and whitetail.
And pheasants.
Declining pheasants. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if I could just interject my example of that. When I went around, or when I was at the summer meeting and we went around the room doing that, I was talking about our budget deficit. And you could see that several of the commissioners were thinking, that's about five times the size of our entire budget. And she's just talking about the deficit.
Or understanding the conflict between commercial and recreation. Yeah. You know, Oregon got it in California, but the other ones just... Okay. No other comments? Then we'll go to the meeting minute approval. Yes, Commissioner Thornburg.
I move to approve the December 21st, 2018 minutes of the Washington Fish and Wildlife teleconference as submitted.
Motion has been made. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Commissioner Carpenter, second it. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. Thank you. Committee reports. Carpenter, Fish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief because we're going to be visiting these things along the way fairly often. We had three items. And by the way, we had good public attendance at our meeting last night, which I thought was good, had a good discussion, and then took questions. We talked about the Willibaw Bay Management Plan, which is in our future, and Chad Herring from staff and Ron Warren did a great job of walking us through that, and that's going to be up next month for some further discussions, so I'm not going to elaborate on that today. We got a lot to work through. North of Falcon policy, which is on our agenda for today. Kyle Addicks did a good job of going over that, and we're going to have further discussion, and that's a decision today. And then we talked about the guide logbook update, which is in the process of ongoing public meetings and to be continued. So that's about all I have. If there's any questions or any other comments from my colleagues, feel free.
Any other comments on Fish? Any other committee reports?
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm not going to present these things in the order that they are listed on the agenda because they... one that is entitled January Workshop Update is going to take a little bit of time. So I'm going to present first. The first thing we talked about actually was a map. I think some of these are available, but the commission adopted rules for roadkill salvage. It was a couple of years ago. We call it the Jay Keeney rule. And we got an update on how that's been going. It's really quite impressive. This map shows where there have been pickups of deer on this side and elk on this side. The numbers are increasing. And it really was set up as a fairly liberal, up to the person picking it up to do the reporting program. I say liberal as opposed to some other states' programs where there's much more oversight of the pickup, and the tickets are actually, or permits are actually issued on site. We leave it up to the individuals picking up the roadkill to voluntarily report it. And so that seems to be going very well. We weren't sure about any safety issues that have come up with it. The numbers have gone up on both species or actually with deer, it's several different species, but with deer and elk, with the 2 years where we've got full reporting. So it just, it seems to be a really good program, and this is kind of the first update that we got on it. The second thing that we talked about, and again, out of order, we got a report from the Lands Division on new work and calculations that are going on for operations and maintenance costs of our wildlife areas. We, as you will know, commissioners, when we are presented with a lands acquisition recommendation and we take action, we're given an estimate for the cost of operations and maintenance. And we're also given the PILT cost. That's separate. But we were focusing today on O&M. And that actually is based on an across-the-board figure of, I think it was 13 cents?
$13,
rather, an acre. And that was worked out with the funding entity that does a lot of the funding, BPA, a number of years ago. And it really, as it turns out, in no way reflects what the true O&M costs are. And so we've had staff working with the with OFM to come up with realistic figures. And what they've discovered is there's actually a fairly broad range of that acreage cost. We already know that, but it's based on the current costs plus additional costs that aren't taken into account. So they've identified this range and an average, and it turns out right now. Well, we're presented with this $13 an acre when we make the purchase. If we look at just the spending that's going on the wildlife agents areas as O&M, it's actually about $21 an acre. And if we account in all of the real costs, it comes out to be about an average of $52 an acre. So we're, and this just has to be found out of our budget, because when we make a purchase, O&M is not included in it. A purchase comes out of capital budget, not operating budget. So we're saying to staff is, you know, you do your best and you know, keep this land up with what you have. And that usually falls on the on-the-ground wildlife area staff. So in the future, as this work goes forward, we're going to be now presented with a truer reflection of cost. And I don't know whether it turns out that there's about six ranks levels of the cost. Some are lower cost. It depends a lot on whether there's infrastructure, how close it is to an urban area, that makes a difference in that cost and increases the cost. And then some of the more rural, large, low infrastructure wildlife areas are less cost. And so there's a range that's been worked out, but the average comes to about $52 an acre. So we got a presentation on that. This is going to actually be presented to the full commission next month. It is not an action item. It's simply for our information about how we're going to be better informed when we talk about those land acquisitions in the future. Really outstanding work that the staff has been doing on this, and we're quite impressed and grateful for the work that they've put into it. Okay, so the third item was to talk about the upcoming commission engagement on wolf issues. There's a lot going on with wolf conservation and management that is sort of moving in a direction that is going to require some policy decisions. And just as an example, as you know, wolves are state endangered. Whenever an animal, a species is listed in the state, there's a management plan put together, a recovery plan, and the commission is responsible to receive periodic status reports. That process is now open on wolves. That's one area that we get involved as the commission. The other, another area that's going to require some policy thinking is because wolves are doing really well with recovery, and really the trajectory has been increasing numbers since they started appearing in the state a little over a decade ago. We need to start looking at what's going to happen when they're recovered. So a post-delisting management plan is in the works, and we're going to have some touch points. There are going to be policy issues on that. Third area is there was a bill that passed in the legislature two sessions ago that required the department to do a SEPA on translocation of wolves. Our recovery right now says that they need to be in three different wolf areas. They really haven't been dispersing naturally in a sort of regular pattern, so translocation is a possibility for recovery. And that process actually has a deadline. We're supposed to have that SEPA completed by the end of this year, according to the bill. So that process is just about to kick off. And there will be, those are policy concerns as well. So these things are happening. The commission really has not been engaged intensively with wolves for a while as they've been recovering, and recognizing that it needs to be happening. And these are discussions of great interest to our constituents and challenging ones. So a group of us met, and it was actually three commissioners, Commissioner Baker, Commissioner Holtzmiller, and I, along with Eric Gardner from the Wildlife Division, Donnie Martorello, who is, of course, our wolf policy manager, and a new staff person, Julia Smith, who's been hired to work on the wolf translocation SEPA. We actually met on Monday in Ellensburg to discuss this process. And so that's what I'm reporting out now, what we talked about and are going to be recommending to the commission. And what we are recommending is that this is going to be a heavy lift and a lot of work, and we think there should be actually a wolf committee of the commission. What we'd like to have the commission think about maybe for a decision in a future meeting, but soon, because this stuff is moving pretty rapidly, is who should be on the committee, the processes of the committee, should it be public attending, just, you know, sticking, of course it won't be a decision-making committee, but reporting out, how it's going to relate to all of these other entities that are involved with wolf issues. Of course, we've had the Wolf Advisory Group for a long time that's worked on specific areas of wolf management. So this was, we've got some paperwork that describes what went on in the meeting that I think is available for the public and also for the commissioners. So we're putting this now before the commission for a decision in the future, but very soon, about how we're going to be doing this interface with the wolf work that's going on. And I'd like to invite Kelly. Kelly's been briefed and thinking about this, too, so I'd like to invite the director to make any comments as well on this.
Sure. So thank you, Commissioner Thornburn. Anybody that's been around wolves at all realizes how consuming they can be, no pun intended. They just eat up a lot of time. They're rife with policy decisions that are incredibly controversial. I like the idea of a commission committee because, again, there are a ton of policy calls to be made or policy directions to be given to the agency, and having that core constituency of commissioners that are fully abreast and fully informed and engaged on the wolf issue, I think will help us be timely in providing direction to the agency as we move forward. So I really like the idea, and I thank the commissioners for investing the time this week to go over and hash it out.
Okay, so that can, I'll just ask, any commissioners who were there or at the meeting this morning, you want to add anything to what's been said?
I think you covered it.
Okay.
Jay, did you want to say something?
I, there again, think it'd be very important. And truly, as a commission, we've not spent a lot of time on the wolf issue. And I think there needs to be a whole lot more time spent. And there again, I'm one of eight. But I think we need to have a very clear goal going forward. And we'll debate amongst ourselves on this one. But to me, how do you know what tools to use until you know what the vision is and where you want to go? Are we going to be traveling freeways, or are we going to be traveling mountain roads? If we're going to be traveling mountain roads, four-wheel drive pickup works a lot better. So that, to me, is to get a kind of a clear and concise goal of where we want to end up in the end, and then we can pick the appropriate tools. As a rancher, on our side of the state, the wolves are recovered. And yet, looking at the policies, there's still a million things up in the air. And if we could get a clearer vision towards the east side of the state of where we're going to end up, I think it would help solve a whole lot of angst that people in my part of the world have, because we've all seen the Charlie Brown with the football deal, and that's what we kind of feel like from time to time. Every time you get it teed up and going to kick it, they pull the football on you. So I think this would be very, very important to get this. And wolves are on the landscape. It's a given. We're going to deal with them, but we don't want to get myopic and just single focus on one species, because we've got to keep a healthy herd of ungulates, and we have communities that we got to keep involved. So I know I sound like a damn broken record on this, but we've got to look at this sustainable down the road. So no, wholeheartedly support this.
Yes, Mr. McCoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I was lucky enough to be in the Wildlife Committee this morning as well to hear some of this, and I would speak in favor of the committee process. I think it'd be of great value to those who are not on the committee to have those commissioners who have the time and the interest in exploring these very thoroughly, well beyond what it would be available to the Wildlife Committee to deal with at a commission meeting. It would be of great value to the full commission to do that. I think that it's a good idea to have this exposed to the public. This is a very high-profile idea. The end conclusion of commission policy decisions on wolf is a very high-profile idea, and to the extent that we're going to rely on a committee to do a lot of the thorough analysis and make strong recommendations to the full body, that's a very important process. And so if the public is fully aware that that's coming and how it might be structured, and to gain all the public confidence that that's a good idea, is an important thing. So I support that. With regard to the committee not making any decisions, obviously committees can't make any decisions on behalf of the full commission, but the committee would be making little decisions about what to be analyzed, what's the range of alternatives to be analyzed, and making a recommendation to the full group is a little bit of a decision as well. So in that regard, I really think it's important that the committee be open to the public as we have in our other committees now, so we can again gain that public trust, and for commissioners who are not on the committee to be able to attend and learn a little bit if they can.
Thank you. Further?
Yes. And Commissioner McIsaac and I are in full 100% agreement. The only thing of it is I do, while we structure this, I do want to give us the option to have a little executive time to do the sausage making, and so we can bat around, have more open and candid conversations. So I'm in full agreement with you that we have to have public access to this on a very, very, very regular basis, but I want to make certain when we make the motion that we don't make it just exclusively open and public, that we can have some candid conversations behind the scenes. So that's what I would ask, Don.
Mr. Baker.
Just reading the tea leaves here, I think that we will decide to establish a separate committee on wolves. And again, to reiterate, all we did the other day for a long time is talk about the process by which the commission interacts both with the agency, the public, and the WAG committee. It sounds to me like the sticking point might be the public part of this. I have long been a strong proponent of open public meetings. I still am. I do want to say, though, that there will be times when we will need to go into executive session, just like we do on every other issue we deal with. Wolves are a place where there is ongoing litigation. There's also very complicated laws that perhaps we sometimes forget we need to contend with. And we're going to be needing to talk to our lawyers. We're going to need to keep ourselves out of trouble. And we're going to need to hash this out amongst ourselves. So I don't want to give the expectation that every time that any of us get together with anyone, we are it's announced and everybody knows about it, but we will be announcing if we have reason to go into a closed session. So that's my position on that. I don't think we're making any decisions today on this, but it sounds to me like we're putting some cards on the table, so I decided to jump in.
Commissioner Thunberg.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the point. I think closed, and I'll look at our attorney on this, I think closed session is a more appropriate term than executive session, because I think as with all of our committees of the commission, this will not be a quorum committee. The processes we use are actually the decision of the commission and not the decision of law. So I would, I see our attorneys agreeing with me. So just to distinguish for all of you who are listening, how our thinking will go on this and the processes.
Okay. Good discussion. Any other committee reports? Nope. Okie doke.